Number 11. Lesson number 11 this evening. There's some pencils or there's pens down here if anybody would prefer that. Okay, lesson number 11. This is a pretty interesting lesson. It'll be a good one. It's a good one to think about. Thinking of our church and your own self and how to maybe how that relates to you. Maybe it's a good way to think about some things on that this evening. But lesson number 11, the supply of the Spirit. And basically, as you can see on point number one, it's about spiritual gifts. We're looking at that this evening. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. And thank you for those that are here, and the ones that you had to be here tonight. And as we look at this lesson, it's a very, very pertinent, a very, just important lesson, thinking of us, each one of us, and how we can relate to your church, your body, here, Eastside Baptist Church, Lord. And just please help me as I just lead the lesson tonight, again, just that you would speak through it and through me and use what's said, that it would just be an edifying and challenge to everyone this evening. Help us be able just to stay focused on your words, and despite any distractions, and that we just be able to focus on what you want to teach us and everything tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. So lesson number 11, the key verses there, I'll go ahead and read those. In Romans chapter 12, again, familiar chapter, but some probably familiar verses as well in here, but I'll read those here. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. It says, having then gifts differing, I lost my spot. Having then gifts differing, remember that, until I get the spot back here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The Holy Spirit provides every child of God with one or more spiritual gifts. And these gifts are special abilities that are given to us at salvation for the express purpose of serving God through our local church, his body. So few Christians ever understand spiritual gifts, much less discover their own and then use them for God's work. But one of the most important things you can do after salvation is to discover, develop, and then deploy your spiritual gifts in the service of God. And because nothing will ignite your passion for ministry and your joy in the Lord more than using your divine enabling for his glory. Serving in the area of your giftedness is beyond enjoyable. And it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling experiences in the Christian life. So some goals with the lesson tonight is, number one, that we would understand that God has equipped every Christian with at least one spiritual gift to serve him. Number two, that we would recognize that gifts within any church, our church, vary, and that we would appreciate and then encourage the unique gifts of others. Number three, that we would understand the basic descriptions, we'll go over those, of each spiritual gift and identify our own. The number four, that we would not just hide them and not use them, but we would use them, utilize them, for the ministry of the local church and for God's glory, most importantly. So the lesson starts off with an interesting illustration here. It says, I read about a lady who is late in sending out her Christmas cards. Time got away from her, and in a rush, she hurriedly bought, signed, and sent 49 Christmas cards. In the hurry, she failed to take time to read the message on the inside. Now, on Christmas Day, she noticed the one remaining card that she hadn't sent and took a minute to read it. Just a little note to say, a special gift is on the way. Suddenly, she realized with horror that 49 of her friends were now expecting a gift from her. Everybody likes to receive gifts, and in this lesson, we're going to discover that the Holy Spirit provides every child of God with one or more spiritual gifts, as has been mentioned already. And God teaches us in His Word about these gifts. And these gifts tie into the divine enabling that we've already studied earlier. They're special abilities given to us at salvation for the express purpose of serving God and fulfilling His call. This is an interesting statement. Your gift perfectly matches your calling. It's what you love to do. It's what you're naturally good at by His Spirit. It's what you can do best to serve God and His people. Again, we've already said something similar, but few Christians ever understand spiritual gifts, let alone discover their own and then use them. But one of the most important things we can do is to discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts in the service of God. Because nothing will make you more passionate about serving in ministry than using your divine enabling for His glory. And serving in the area of your giftedness is enjoyable. But a little caveat. If the mention of spiritual gifts brings up images of, charismatic sensationalism, or talking in tongues, healings, all this kind of snake handling, drinking poison, all this kind of stuff like that. Again, that's not what we're talking about today. Those gifts passed off the scene in the first century. Again, that's not the point of being what we're talking about tonight. Those are what would be called sign gifts. Those were temporary, miraculous abilities that God gave specifically to the apostles and a few select other people in the first century church there. And they were given in that apostolic age to prove and validate the message that they were preaching. Because you think at that point, they did not have the New Testament was not all written at that point. Again, you think about it, they were called sign gifts because they were a sign, specifically, usually, to the Jews that didn't believe. And those temporary sign gifts were used amazingly, again, in the beginning of the church. And the permanent edifying gifts are used continually, which is what we're talking about today. The Bible indicates that sign gifts would pass away and cease. You can see that, 1 Corinthians 13, that's the chapter, the love chapter, but that's the chapter right after Paul is just talking about gifts in chapters 11 and 12. As the apostles died off and the scriptures were completed, this is 1 Corinthians 13:10. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So the gifts we're going to study tonight are practical, ministry-oriented serving gifts that are given for the edification of others. So let's take a closer look at these divinely given abilities and then discuss discovering, developing, and then deploying yours. So point number one, we have spiritual gifts, or an E. Not that, start E-X. Exhort. We're talking about this in the, before you exercise it, it's got to be explained. Spiritual gifts explained. When you accepted Christ, God gave you an ability by the Holy Spirit to serve Him in a unique way. He enabled you to meet a specific need in your body, in the body of your local church. He enabled you to meet a specific need in the body of your local church family. 1 Peter 4:10 is our first verse there.
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Now, even if you don't know what it is yet or don't feel particularly gifted in a certain area, the Bible teaches that you do have a special gift that you can use to serve God. Now, think about what God says here, that in 1 Corinthians 12:18 to 24. That's the next verses there.
But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him.
And if they were all one member, where were the body?
But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you.
Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more people are necessary.
And those members of the body which we think be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness.
For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked.
God's word teaches in this passage that he wants to place you into a local church family as a member that you might be a part of that body, participating in his work with your church. He teaches that you, whoever you are vital to the health and strength of the rest of the body. What should you do with your spiritual gift? Notice how Paul instructed Timothy here in 2 Timothy 1:6. Next verse.
Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
God wants you to be a good steward of his gift to you, to use it, to use that gift. 1 Peter 4:10.
As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
The great result of using your gift is that others are helped. As the entire church family ministers to each other and to the community, you know, the gospel changes lives. That's the way the local church is supposed to work. Too often we make church a spectator sport. We attend services, listen to the songs, hear the sermons, and then go home. These things are vital, but local church life should be a fully engaged life. It should be an immersive experience, plunging our whole hearts into participation, growth, fellowship, and service with God's people. The early Christians continued steadfastly. They made their spiritual growth and ministry a steadfast priority in life. This wasn't something that took a back seat in any area of life. Spiritual growth, spiritual service, and spiritual fellowship were primary. Acts 2:42.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers.
These Christians grew by being fully engaged in local church life and service. The same is true for you. As you discover your God-given gift and then become active in serving with it, your spiritual growth will accelerate rapidly. So that brings us to point two, which is spiritual gift starts with a D. We had spiritual gifts explained, and now spiritual gift starts with a D. Similar. Developed. Developed and discovered, you're like hitting all around the bullseye.
Distinguished.
Described. Spiritual gifts described. Present day spiritual gifts are summarized in Romans 12. I already read those to start, but I'll just go ahead and continue there, read them around. Romans 12:6-8.
The grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
In ministry, let us lead on the ministry, and he that teacheth on teaching.
Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
So let's briefly examine each of these spiritual gifts listed in these verses. And again, this Romans 12 passage isn't the only passage that talks about spiritual gifts. You see in 1 Corinthians, again, those are talking more about sign gifts, specifically about tongues and that kind of thing there. Then also in the Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 2 or Ephesians 4, it's where it talks about a little bit, but that's more focused on like He gave some apostles and pastors and evangelists, that kind of thing. So this is more everybody across the board here. So the first one, subpoint A, starts with a P. Prophecy, that is correct. Now, before the Bible was complete, prophecy was twofold. Foretelling and forthtelling. No, when we think of prophecy and prophets, we usually think of the foretelling part, which is predicting future events that haven't happened yet. But that was always based on God's revelation to them. Forthtelling is actually really the main role of prophecy, preaching God's word to others. Even in the Old Testament, the prophet's main ministry was that of preaching the truth. In some cases, they would foretell future events as they preached. And you think about even people that were called prophets, like in Scripture, you don't always see them foretelling future events. It was delivering messages to people from God, like, don't do this or go do this. It wasn't always the predicting future event part of it. So today, we have the complete revelation of God in His Word to man. That's recorded in His Word, the Bible. And then the spiritual gift of prophecy today really is a call from God to preach His Word. And obviously, pastors and evangelists should have this calling and gift. And these Christians are passionate to declare the Word of God. Number two, starts with an M. Ministry, yes. This spiritual gift is also known as the gift of helps. I think that might be from another passage. And it's a desire to serve God and help God's people in a variety of ways. Now, often volunteering service in unglamorous and unappreciated jobs. Christians with this gift love serving and helping to make a vision a reality. The first deacons in Acts 6 exercised the gift of ministry when they helped care for the needs of the widows so the apostles could give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. We heard about that this morning. The exact same thing there. And then think about the result of that behind-the-scenes ministry there was significant. Acts 6:7, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Never underestimate the importance of the spiritual gift of ministry. If you have a passion to serve behind the scenes, to be faithful and diligent, knowing your service is vital. And as you see others serving, remember that they are exercising their spiritual gifts, serving under the grace of God. Subpoint C, starts with a T. Teaching. This is the ability and the desire to teach God's truth and help people understand how His Word applies to their lives. These Christians love to dig into God's Word and make it understandable to the hearers. You will often find those with this spiritual gift teaching Sunday school classes or other teaching ministries, and that gift requires diligent study and interpretation of Scripture. It's a vital need for every local church, excuse me. Subpoint D, starts with an E. Exhortation, yes. Exhortation, or to exhort. Now, this is the ability and the desire to encourage others in the Christian life. These Christians love to lift up others with positive words and deeds. The exhorter is especially concerned with the heart, not just with outward performance. Exhorters are like the church fireplace poker, it says in here. They want to motivate others to love and serve God with a wholehearted purpose. Next one is subpoint E, starts with a G. Giving. This is the ability and the desire to give to God's work and God's people. And it's accompanied by the provision to give as well. These Christians are generous by nature and love to give to God's work. Romans 12:8 teaches that giving should be done with simplicity, meaning it should be free from pretense or motives. Those with the gift of giving have great delight in unobtrusively giving to meet the needs of others and further the work of God. Again, we saw a little bit about that again this morning. Interesting how it ties together with the lesson tonight. Subpoint F starts with an R. Ruling, yes. And also called administration. This is the ability to lead and administrate part of God's work. It reveals itself through natural abilities to organize, to think strategically, implement a plan, and coordinate teams of people. Now, these Christians love to bring things to order and make things happen in God's work. They have a God-given ability to manage and administrate, and they find great joy in seeing order and progress. And the last one here is subpoint G, starts with an M. Mercy. This is the God-given ability to feel the pain of others, to help them during trials. Now, those with the gift of mercy are naturally good at sympathizing and empathizing with those carrying heavy burdens. They know what to say and when to be silent and have a good, you know, bedside manner. These Christians, though, we find them visiting hospitals, ministering to those who are suffering. You know, those who show mercy are some of the most adept at fulfilling the command here in Romans 12:15 to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. God has given each Christian at least one of these gifts, and he desires for you to use those gifts as you serve with others in our local church. So then point number three, we have spiritual gifts, starts with the P. We got explained.
Practice.
Yes, that's correct. Spiritual gifts practiced. So we'll look at a simple three-part challenge here regarding your spiritual gifts. Subpoint A starts with a D, your spiritual gifts. I've already said this a couple times. Discover, yes. Discover. Specifically identifying your spiritual gifts helps you to find the areas in the church in which God has gifted you for ministry. And this is kind of an important statement here. Although we do serve in some capacities that are not necessarily our most prominent spiritual gifts, we will be most passionate and have greater effectiveness in the areas of our spiritual gifts. For instance, people without the spiritual gift of mercy can still visit a member of their Sunday school class that's in a hospital. No, people without the spiritual gift of giving are still commanded to give. Yet, Christians with those particular spiritual gifts will find these areas come the most naturally, and they may have the greatest fruitfulness as they serve in that capacity, whatever that is. So we have discover your spiritual gifts, then subpoint B, also starts with a D. Develop your spiritual gifts. It's not uncommon to be greatly intimidated by the thought of serving God, especially if your gift puts you in front of people or teaching and leading in some way. We shouldn't despise our gifts. We should embrace it, even if it leads us out of our comfort zone. Because remember, that gift represents God's enabling. He intends for you to use the gift he's given you. I think it's William Carey, God's calling always comes with God's enabling. So, and then do everything you can to develop your gift. Use it, refine it, read, study, practice. The raw abilities that God has given you will mature and then multiply with time and use. And subpoint C also starts with a D, your spiritual gifts. Deploy. Get involved. Let God plug you in to your local church. Get behind your pastor. Join arms with your church family, and then start using your gifts to glorify God and bless the local church body. You are God's, this is an interesting statement, you are God's gift to your church. And someone in the body needs your influence. It's kind of an interesting, think about that. The blessing of using your gift for others is indescribable. You're going to love using your spiritual gift in local church ministry. When everyone in a church uses their spiritual gifts for the glory of God, the church is able to function as God intended. Imagine what that would look like throughout the week. From Sunday school classes, discipleship, weekly activities, those with the gifts of teaching would be effectively communicating God's truth to soft hearts. Those with the gift of helps would be serving food, helping in classes, cleaning, manicuring grounds. Those with the gift of prophecy would be preaching God's word in church, nursing homes, extension ministries. Those with the gift of mercy would be visiting hospitals and homes, ministering to those that are suffering and need help. Those with the gift of encouragement would be strengthening the weary, ministering the homeless, uplifting the discouraged. Again, so many other things you could mention with those. Those with the gift of giving would be significantly invested, investing into the work of God with all their resources. Those with the gift of administration would be bringing order to teams and projects, helping to bring strategy and order to vision and making it a reality. In this scenario, nobody is resenting the gifts of others. The hand isn't wishing it was a foot, and the arms aren't trying to be the head. The body is serving together in spirit-led harmony and unity. There's nothing like a healthy local church. This type of church family is extremely enjoyable to be a part of and extremely attractive to a world looking for love. Spiritual gifts are the Holy Spirit's supply in your life, His way of equipping you to do what He's called you to do in your church. Discover your gifts. Develop them. Deploy them. Immerse yourself by His Spirit into a life of service for the Lord. Whatever you do, be sure to heed the admonition of 1 Timothy 4:14 there. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Again, Paul talking to Timothy right there. So that, again, concludes the lesson. Again, a very brief look at spiritual gifts there. Again, there's probably so much more that could be said about every single one of them there, but definitely a good overview and just kind of basic description on that. So over to the questions. Number one, what are spiritual gifts? What are they? In the term spiritual gifts, what is that? Yep, and specifically on the second one there. Special abilities that are given to us at salvation for the express purpose of serving God and then fulfilling His call in our life. So number two, why is it important that you recognize and use your spiritual gifts? What was that? And then it's specifically because it is it brings joy to you, but it's also a benefit to others. Serving in the area of your giftedness is one of the most rewarding and then fulfilling experiences in the Christian life. Because that's interesting, the idea of being a steward of it, that kind of brings to mind the parable. You know, Jesus talked about the parable of the talents, right? He gave, all of them got something, They were all gifted with something. And they all used it to different levels, right? Except for one. He didn't use it. The one that ended up with 10 wasn't really commended any more than the one that came with 5, you know? The only one that was rebuked was the one that didn't do anything with it. So question 3 says, looking over the list of spiritual gifts that we looked at here in Romans 12, can you identify yours? Actually, say, can you identify your neighbor's? But can you identify yours? That's an interesting one to think about for yourself on that. Number 4, interesting question. Do you find yourself resenting the spiritual gifts of others? And then how can we, like thinking about the lesson here on spiritual gifts, help us serve with greater unity in the church? It's maybe on that second point there. How can understanding spiritual gifts there help us serve with greater unity? It's interesting to hear the word diversity all the time today, don't we? That's true diversity, is all of our differences and our differences opinions and our different thoughts and views on things and coming together for a common purpose of serving God and serving others in our church. So that was the question there. So no, understanding spiritual gifts helps us recognize that the Holy Spirit has given each of us unique gifts. The hand's not the foot. The head's not the arm. And that rather than feeling envious or, it's an interesting phrase, perturbed by others' exercise of their gifts, we can achieve more by serving in unity. This is an interesting question here. Number 5, who can you think of in your church who often serves without notice or recognition? And how could you thank and encourage them this week for their service to the Lord? Question 6 is, in what practical way can you develop your spiritual gift over the next 6 months? Interesting question. Number 7, in what way are you using your spiritual gift in or for your local church right now? And then number 8, throughout this lesson, has the Holy Spirit prompted you to begin serving in a particular area or a ministry for which He's gifted you? And if so, what steps do you need to take to begin? Right then. So then again, the verse has already been mentioned, I think, twice so far, but to kind of conclude everything off here, 1 Peter 4:10 says that every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards, again, there's that steward idea, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Any thoughts from anybody before we close? Anything interesting be standing out to you particularly tonight? That was good. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, as we pray to close out the service this evening, we do thank you for just your word and just what we were able to look at this evening of this idea of spiritual gifts and just things that are something or some things that you've put in us when you saved us, that how you want us to serve you, how you want to use us, word it that way, in your church, in your body, particularly for all of us right here now in Eastside Baptist Church, Lord, that that we would again discover, develop, and then deploy the spiritual gifts that you've given to us. And again, some of us might know what directions that you have for us now. Some of us may be trying to figure out what those are. But regardless of wherever we're at, just please help us to, one, give us the courage and the boldness to just use them how you would have us to be used. And that for the purpose of the building up of the body, the edifying of the body of Christ, Lord, here. And that would overflow into outside, to ministering to outside and seeing folks saved, Lord. I pray that you just be with us and give us safety getting back to our homes and bring us back together again on Wednesday evening. In Jesus' name, amen.